Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
I'm Dr. Bill Price, a master global executive neuroscience leadership coach. I'm also very interested in neuroscience, the neuroscience of who we are. When God molded us in Genesis, He molded us from the earth, and we molded into chemistry. We molded with time and space and energies. Our neurology in our brain has been God-designed, and our mind with intentionality and influence and intellect. Our body with 11 systems, 13 brain intelligences, 28 filters of thinking, 7 levels of logic, 8 brain languages were all molded into our being. And then, through time, our thoughts and our feelings and our actions turned into behavior, those turned into habits, and the habits turned into personality and temperament. And so we are neuropsychosocio living biological. That's the definition of man and woman. Built into our biology and built into our neurology is one big thing. It's called connection. We pick it up in Genesis when the Creator molds Adam, and when He's finished molding him and He breathes Ruach over him, which is intelligence and systems and connectivity and order. He breathed Ruach over the earth when it was in chaos before He could speak the words of creation. So Ruach comes first, and He built us in with Ruach. And then He breathed in him Nefesh Chaya, which is the very life of God, the very creativity of God Himself, His image. And the Hebrew word for image means a photograph exactly like me, says God. So we are a photographic image of God, as we say that we are molded in His image. But built in our neurology was when God looked at Adam and He said, oh my goodness, inside this neurology is a yearning for connection. And the yearning for connection means it's not good that man should be alone. And so He molded a woman and called her Eve. We've been programmed for connection. We've been programmed to belong. We've been programmed not to be alone. We've been programmed to be connected. But we've also been programmed in that connection with someone else to become whole, to become healed. Christ was commissioned by the Father to come onto the planet so that He could be like us, be amongst us, and help us to rebuild. And He came so that He could open blinded eyes, and that He could heal those who are brokenhearted, and that He could restore those who are bruised, and that He could set free those that are bound, and speak the acceptable year and the promise and the purposes of God's life into our lives. And He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The Greek word for that is Zoe, and it's the same word in Hebrew as Nefesh Chaya, the very creative life of God Himself. We've been created to have that. So the question is, why don't we? Why don't we have it? Dr. Bull, why isn't my life up to standard? Why isn't my life successful? Why aren't I the superhero? Why aren't I the super successful? Why aren't I super rich? Why aren't I super blessed? Why have I got brokers in my life? Well, because you're human. And that's what happened when man fell and sin was introduced into the space. But you've got a task, like Nehemiah. You've wept over your brokenness enough. You know that you have been created with connection, and you know that you've been created for completeness. So work with it. So last session, we spoke about the sheep gate as the first gate, our place where we set up our sacrifice, and ask the question, so what sacrifice are you willing to make? If you're not willing to make a sacrifice, then you're not willing to grow, because there's a price that needs to be paid. just as Christ paid the supreme price of being the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, yours and mine, what's your sacrifice that you need to make? And your sacrifice means I've got to take effort and I've got to use time and I've got to use my energy and my wisdom and my capability and capacity. And then I need to go to the fish gate where I become related to people and connected to people and where I influence others. So I'm going to get healed if I learn to influence others. And then I go to the old gate and go, let me learn from some of the old ways. Let me learn from some of the good things that God has left behind for us, the ways of wisdom, the ways of knowledge that are ever, ever true and never, never compromised. What are some of the things that you're not wanting to compromise in your life so that you can work with some of the old habits and the old rituals and the old behavior patterns and the old thoughts and the old feelings? And we can transform ourselves by the renewing of our mind. And we can become, and those people who was declared in Colossians, that we can walk in the newness of Christ with dominion. The fourth gate that Nehemiah visits is the Valley Gate. And the Valley Gate is on the western section of the city of Jerusalem. Now, the Valley Gate was where Nehemiah, for his 3 nights, started his inspection, where he rode on a horse around the wall and came back to the Valley Gate. So he started his inspection there and he ended his inspection there. In the present day, if you visit Israel and Jerusalem, you will see that that gate is now called the Jaffa Gate. And it's a gate that Jesus rode in when he was on the donkey, and it is a gate that signifies humility, where we occupy a low space. Ladies and gentlemen, your life and mine will not be healed if we don't have an attitude of gratitude. If we don't have an attitude of humility, and humility simply means that I have the courage to lift up both my hands and confess these words, Dear Lord, I need help. Of course, our ego keeps us away from that, and we say, no, I'm not broken in any way, I'm just scratched, and I'm putting a bandage over a broken arm, and that should be fine, because what other people think of me is more important than what I realize is reality within me. David, one of the songs that he wrote, Psalm 23, says, when I go through the valley, and make sure of this fact, you have to go through the valley. The valley is a place where I must decide whether I'm going to climb the mountain on either side or I'm going to walk through the valley onto the other side to find another mountain to climb. But it's a place of decision. It's a place where I'm humbled, where I realize that in my own strength and in my own capacity, I have no hope to be able to come out of this one. But I've been given instruction by the Creator of heaven and earth. I will go through it. I'm not going to stay in it. I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to build a house there. I'm not going to pitch my tent there. I'm not going to stay there and go down rabbit holes or winding circles of doom loops of thought patterns in my life. I look at a valley and I say there's shadow in it, but I'm going to focus on the other side. Somewhere in rebuilding your walls and doors that are broken and bruised and battered in your life, you need to build in hope. And I'm wondering what you would need to do to create that sense of hope. Humility is when I know who I am and also know who I'm not. Humility says I am bruised and I'm broken and it's okay. Humility says I am in a valley. I'm in a place of humility and it's tough. But I have strength. I've got 2 feet and I've got a thought system that can command those feet through my mind into my brain and tell my feet, move forward. Don't move back. Move forward. I can command my brain. I have that capacity. I can change thinking in my brain. I can renew my mind according to Scripture. And I can do it with changing a thought, changing my feelings, changing my actions, changing what I believe, and refocusing on them rather than focusing on where I am now in my present sad circumstances. Looking at your pain, looking at your brokenness, looking at your bruising is not going to get you anywhere. You've got to look beyond that. So humility means I look beyond the valley to the sunlight, to the sunrise, to the sunset, to say a day will go by, I will sleep and rest, and there will be another day in which I can travel. But I'm moving towards the eternal light that is on the other side of this valley. But I'm going to go through. And it's a process that sometimes the Scripture defines as being refined by fire. After the valley gate, Nehemiah got people and said, I want you now to build at the dung gate. They all built at the gates simultaneously. And the story tells us that every family that was near a broken gate and broken walls that was opposite their house, they took the broken down pieces of the walls and they rebuilt them, re-cemented them into the wall. You'll notice that when Nehemiah asked King Artaxerxes, he didn't ask him for bricks and cement. He asked him for wood so that he could build the door frames and the gates, the wooden gates, so they could be closed, so that Jerusalem could become safe at night. So you've got to restore the control centers. That's a gate. The next gate that we need to pay attention to that Nehemiah got people to rebuild is the dung gate, the rubbish gate. This is in the south section of the city, and it led to the Himmon Valley, where all the refuge of the city, all the rubbish of the city, was taken out the city and dumped in this valley. It was this valley that they used to set the rubbish alight, and it was based on this valley that Jesus the Messiah looked at when he tried to describe Gehenna, which is hell, the place of burning flames. If you're going to heal yourself, if you're going to rebuild the brokenness, you have to stop at the dung gate. And the dung gate is used where you exit all the rubbish in your life. I'm here to tell you that some of the things that happened in your past is rubbish. I'm here to tell you that you need to call some of the things that happened in your life no longer by their names, like trauma and tragedy, and hold on to it. Give it another name, but take it out the dung gate and dump it in the valley where it belongs. Get rid of the rubbish in your life, my friend. Get rid of the nonsense that you're continually doing. There's things that you simply need to say, stop it. And you need to stop it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, Rabbi Paul writes that we need to cleanse ourselves. And to do that, we need to identify what the rubbish is. We need to pick up our rubbish with our own hands. And then we mustn't wallow in our rubbish. Stop wallowing in the rubbish and get to the place where you move on to the fountain gate. And the fountain gate, otherwise known as the water gate, which is on the southeastern part of the wall, is called a place near the pool of Siloam. And right there is the king's garden. And the king's garden is a space where the presence of the king used to go, and he used to spend time walking there. It was from this pool that Jesus in John 7 said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and I will turn you into a fountain. So it's not just that it's a container. You're not a container of water. Christ has reformed us. He has transformed us into a fountain, a flowing fountain of living, living water. King David, when he lost his illegitimate child and was in the temple and bargaining with God to save the child's life, when he heard that the child had died, Scripture tells us the story in 2 Chronicles. He got up, he took off his robes of bitterness and pain and sorrow, and then he washed, and then he put on a cloth of righteousness, and then he went and ate, and then he went back to Bathsheba, and out of that experience of love, Solomon was born. So out of brokenness, the next generation can be born. Out of your brokenness being healed is the next opportunity waiting for you. But you need to be able to visit this gate and allow the water to cleanse you. Allow yourself to give yourself permission to say, I'm not a container. I'm not a vase. I'm not a vessel. I am what Christ said I am. I'm a fountain, and I can be flowing with life. I should be flowing with life. And I'm hoping that you will hunger and yearn for that flow. Until next time, it's Dr. Bill Price saying, build your life.
Become active, active in faith. 657 AM.
For there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.